Gospels to 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5. I haven't started preaching yet this morning, but I've already done something right. Boy, it feels good to do something right, doesn't it? I have the temperature right. You may not realize that, but I've got two or three that are fanning and two or three that are wrapped up with a cold, so I've got it just right, see? As I started to prepare a sermon for today, I was drawn to 2 Kings chapter 5, and this is the story of Naaman, the healing of Naaman's leprosy. And I thought sure that was what the message was supposed to be about, because that's what this chapter is about. So I started working on it, and I couldn't just... Normally the way I do this is I find the passage of Scripture, and then I try to get an outline, and then I try to go back and find supporting Scriptures and things like that. Well, I couldn't get an outline about Naaman. I just couldn't figure anything out. So I kept praying about it, you know, because I was sure this was the passage of Scripture, and I just kept not getting anything. And finally, I noticed something else in the story of Naaman, or more particularly someone else. And boy, when I noticed this someone else, man, I mean, it just fell into place. That other person is the little maid. We sing that cute little story about Naaman and dipping in the river seven times and all that. And we don't sing little songs about this little maid, but we probably should, because without her, none of the things that happened in 2 Kings chapter 5 would have happened. So let's read. I'm just going to read the first three verses of 2 Kings chapter 5. Now Naaman, a captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He also was a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, "Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." Now, just reading these three verses, it's abundantly clear that the story is about Naaman. But none of it would happen except for verse 2 and the little maid. I want to talk about her this morning. I want to mention a few things about her this morning. First of all, I want you to think about her loss. Look again at verse 2. The Syrians had gone out by companies. That's the invading army of the Syrians. And they had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. This is one of those verses. When you get to 2 Kings chapter 5, this is one of those verses that you read and you don't pay too much attention to, because the story is about Naaman. And so you just kind of pass over verse 2, but there's a lot in verse 2, and most of it is about this little maid. She was very young, early teens, maybe even preteens when this happened to her. Very likely she could have been 11, 12, 13 years old, something like that. She was a captive. She was a slave. And I want you to think about that for just a minute. She was a captive and she was a slave. A 13-year-old girl. Her whole world had been turned upside down, if you can imagine this. The Syrians had come, an invading army, enemy army of the Syrians had come to her town or her village or whatever it was. And they had killed a lot of people. Maybe they killed her parents. I don't know. They had destroyed homes, they had destroyed families, they had destroyed dwellings, they'd destroyed the city. I don't know what they did, but they were an invading army. And in part of the process of all that, they took this little girl captive. Now, can you imagine that? Can you imagine being 10, 11, 12, 13 years old and maybe having your parents killed, certainly having your home destroyed, but at the very least you're ripped away from home, from family, from friends, from all that's familiar, from all that's safe, and you're all alone, and you find yourself a slave to some foreign family. You don't speak their language. You don't understand their language. You've probably never been to their country. And here you are, lost and alone and afraid and probably terrified, don't you think? I mean, I can't imagine that as an adult. But imagine that as a little child. She must have been terrified. She had no physical protector. She was at the mercy of her owner. She was a piece of property. No rights whatsoever at all. Listen, when the Assyrian army came to her town, they didn't hold a meeting and say, listen, there, any of you young people that want to come with us, listen, we're going to pay you this much money and give you 401k and here's your retirement package. No, they took her, they grabbed her forcibly against her will. They pulled her away and she became a slave. And on top of all of that, she was a Christian. You know how I know that? I know that because of what she did. Now, Christian, think about that for just a minute. What would be the first question you would ask? God, why did you let this happen to me? Right? Isn't that what we would ask? Here I am, a Christian. Boy, we'd pat ourselves on the back a little bit. Here I am, a Christian, serving you, doing your will, doing the best I can, and you let me become a slave? You let me be taken from all that's familiar. You put me in a foreign country. I mean, why, God? Why did you let this happen to me? I'm pretty sure that's what I would ask. I'm pretty sure that's what most of you would ask, because we ask that about lesser things that happen in our life, don't we? You lose your job. Well, why, God? Why did you let this happen to me? Problems in the family. Well, why, God? Why did you let this happen to me? Your favorite football team loses. Well, why, God? In spite of all that had happened to her, in spite of all that she had lost, there's a couple of outstanding things about this little maid. And the first one is that she did not lose her faith in God. I find that incredible. I wondered when I read about her, when I realized that this is what the focus of the message should be, I wondered, how in the world did she keep her faith? She went through tremendous trauma all by herself. There was nobody to support her. None of her family or friends. They didn't bring a bunch of other folks to Naaman's house. They just brought her. How in the world did she keep her faith? And I thought about that and I looked and I wondered and it hit me. Boy, this is profound. Somebody should be writing this down. I should be seeing this. You know how she did it? She decided to. She probably had questions. I think she questioned God. I think that because I believe she's just like people haven't changed really that much through the ages. She had to wonder why this happened to her. She had to be upset. She had to be afraid. I'm sure she cried. But in the midst of all of that, she decided, no matter what happens to me, I am going to remain faithful to God. And that's all it is. We simply just decide to do it. I hear people tell me sometimes, oh, now, Pastor, I couldn't remain faithful because I got sick. I couldn't remain faithful because I got a divorce. I couldn't remain faithful because God let me lose my job. Yes, we can. We choose not to. Or we choose to be faithful. And this little girl chose to be faithful. The Bible tells us perilous times will come. Now listen, she had some perilous times, don't you think? 2 Timothy 3:1 says this, know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. In John 16:13, you've heard me talk about this verse before. Jesus said, in the world ye shall have tribulation. Problems are going to come. But we shouldn't be surprised. We shouldn't be shocked when there's difficulty in this world. Sin brings suffering. Sin brings difficulty. Not my sin or your sin in particular, but sin in general. And so we shouldn't be surprised when there's peril, when there's difficulty, when there's problems. But in spite of that, and maybe even because of that, we're commanded to keep the faith. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, let us hold fast, hang on to the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Wednesday night we talked about this verse, Philippians 4:1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. That term stand fast, we talked about it, it's a military term, and it's in regards to a soldier who is to remain at his post. It's a command. Remain at your post. And so this is a command to us as God's people. Remain faithful. Stand fast. perilous times will come. There will be pain. There will be suffering. There are times when there's going to be more questions than answers. There are going to be times maybe when we'll fall down on our knees to our God and we'll cry out and we'll say, God, why is this happening to me? But in spite of all of that, we must stand fast. We must remain faithful, and we can do that by simply choosing to do that. We choose to be faithful. We choose to obey God. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct thy paths. We choose to obey those verses. Listen, it's not going to be easy. I understand that. It wasn't easy for this little maid. Do you think it was easy for her? Certainly not. It won't be easy for us. But it is a simple choice. We choose to be faithful. She chose to be faithful in spite of her loss. And listen, if she can do it, we can do it. Because the same God who loved her loved us, loves us. I also want you to notice her love. Think about this for just a minute. Naaman was a warrior. He was captain of the Syrian army. In all probability, he led the invading group that came to her town or village. He led the men that came and killed her family, or if they killed him, killed her friends if they killed him. He led the group that destroyed her home if they destroyed it. Whatever happened, he was the one who led them. He was the one who brought her back and forced her into slavery in her home. He was the enemy. There's not a person in the world that would read this story and not think that Naaman was her enemy. Naaman had leprosy. A lot of times in the ancient world, leprosy was terminal. There was no cure for it, and usually it would literally just eat you away until you died. She probably had every right to think, boy, that's exactly what he deserves. Right? I mean, he came. Here's this little girl. Don't forget she's a little girl. He came and took me away from my mama and my daddy. He took me away from my home and my friends. He deserves to die. And he deserves to die a slow, lingering, painful death. He deserves leprosy. The God that I serve has afflicted him. Praise the Lord. She could have been bitter. She could have been hateful. She could have been unforgiving. But instead, she showed Naaman and his wife the love of God. You realize that she knew that it was the prophet of God who could help Naaman be healed if he was going to be healed. There wasn't another person in the household who knew that. She was the only one. All she had to do was keep her mouth shut. Just don't say anything. Nobody will ever know. But she opened her mouth. And she spoke words of love. And she said, listen, if my Lord Naaman was just back with the prophet in Israel, God could heal him of his leprosy. You know, I read that and I began to think about that and I thought, man, that's big. I mean, really, that's big. She didn't have to do that. Nobody would have blamed her if she didn't do that. But she chose, again, she chose to show the love of God to Naaman and his wife. Do not underestimate the love of God. As I was studying this passage this week and looking over this message, I realized something that I don't think I'd ever realized before. I probably should have. But you see, God allowed this little maid to become a slave because God loved Naaman. Sometimes in our lives as Christians, I go back to that thing when perilous times come. When difficulties come, when problems come, when pain and suffering comes, and we cry out and we say, Lord, why? And maybe the answer is, yes, God loves us as His children, but He loves the lost too. And sometimes He causes things in our lives to happen so we'll have the opportunity to minister to the other people that He loves. I remember when Jim was sick with his cancer and he was going to Enid for treatments, and I'd visit with them, and sometimes him and Sharon would tell me stories about people that they had witnessed to who had cancer in Enid. You realize if Jim had never had cancer, he would have never had the opportunity to minister to those people. Now we say, God, why did this happen to me? It happened to him because God loves them too. God sent His only Son, Jesus Christ, whom He loves dearly, to die on the cross of Calvary because He loves us too. Never underestimate the love of God. Matthew 5:44 says, But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. And don't you wish that verse wasn't in the Bible? That's a hard verse, isn't it? Sometimes we hide behind our feelings. We'll say, I love my enemy. And then we stop right there. But that verse doesn't stop right there. That verse says, bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. Listen, love is more than a warm, fuzzy feeling. Love is more than words. I love you. Love is action. And this verse compels us to action. Yes, love your enemy, but do something about it. Do good to them. This little maid did good for Naaman. She told his wife how he could be healed, knowing that word would get back to Naaman. God did something good for us. He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross of Calvary so that we could be forgiven. Do good to your enemy. Boy, that's the exact opposite, isn't it, of what the world says. Well, Pastor, there's somebody that, I didn't really do anything bad to them, but they're mad at me and they won't forgive me. Well, do something good to them. Send them a card and tell them how special they are to you. You know what you can tell them? You have caused me to draw closer to the Lord. That's the truth, isn't it? Because I've had to pray for you. You know, we kind of laugh, but listen. Listen, the Bible works. This stuff is the truth. If we'll do good for our enemies the way that this little girl did good for her enemy, something good will come from it. You and I are enemies of God. You realize that. The Bible teaches us that says that in our sin created enmity with God. We were God's enemy. And all of us have sinned. And yet the Bible says in John 3:16, For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He did something good for us. I was his enemy. And He did something good for me. Matthew 20, verse 28, the Bible says, Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many. I was the enemy of Jesus, and He came to minister to me. He came to minister to you. He came to give His life for His enemy. And we took it. And He still loves us. And He still offers us salvation and hope and joy and peace and all of those things. He's doing something good for us. And He commands us to show the love of God even to our enemies and do something good for them. The last thing I want us to notice about this little girl is her language. Verse 3. And she said unto her mistress, Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. She spoke the words of faith. She spoke the words of love. She spoke the words of witness. They're not eloquent. They're not fancy. She had no formal training. She had girls at this time didn't receive a formal education, and so she had no education. She probably had, maybe she had to speak through an interpreter, or she spoke the broken language of the Syrians. For her, it would be the broken language. Maybe she could just barely communicate, but she communicated. She spoke up. Boy, Christians, listen. We need to speak up. I mean, we've got a million and one excuses, don't we? I've used most of them, and I've heard most of them. Oh, I can't talk about Jesus. I can't be a witness. Why? You know, nobody's ever trained me to do that. Well, I'd be too embarrassed. I'm afraid I would say the wrong thing. Well, what if they ask me a question and I can't answer it? Well, what if they make fun of me? I can't say anything, especially among a group of folks. They're liable to make fun of me. Well, if I tell somebody privately, they're liable to tell somebody else, and then they'll make, oh, I can't do that. I just can't do that. Do you remember the story of the man who was born blind, John chapter 9? This is one of my favorite stories in the Bible. You remember all the controversy? I went long last week. I'll try not to do that this week. You remember all the controversy surrounding Jesus and the healing of the man born blind? And the Sanhedrin council, the chief priests and the Pharisees, they thought, well, now this, whoever healed you, he can't be the Son of God. He must be a sinner. They thought he was a sinner. They called him a sinner. And so they asked the blind man, they said, you come and give us a testimony and tell us about how, you tell us about this sinner. What happened? And here's what he said. He said, I don't know whether he's a sinner or not. But in John chapter 9, verse 25, he said, one thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Amen. You want to know how to witness? You want to know what to say to people about Jesus Christ? Tell them what he did for you. I don't understand all the theology. I can't explain the Trinity so that everybody will understand it. I can barely come to any measure of understanding myself. I don't understand eschatology. I don't know what's going to happen in the end time. I don't understand the love of God for me, for sinners. But this one thing I know, I was lost and on my road to hell, and He forgave my sin, and He gave me joy and peace and eternal life. He did the same for you. Just tell people what Jesus did for you. Listen, speak up. We have been silent for too long. The world has told us to hush. We need to listen to Jesus. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Tell people about Jesus. Speak up. All around us, people are lost and dying and on the road to hell. And they need to hear about Jesus. And they need to see the love of Jesus in His people. And folks, we need to speak up. It's time. This little maid spoke up. In spite of her loss, she showed them the love of Jesus. And she spoke up. And because she did, Naaman was healed, and Naaman became a believer in God Almighty. I don't know what happened to her. The Bible doesn't tell us. I'm confident that God took care of her. She may have been a slave for the rest of her life. She may have been set free. I have no idea. But God loved her, and God protected her, and God blessed her, and God used her because she was willing to show His love and speak up. Christian, stand fast. Speak up. Let your love produce actions. Let your mouth produce words about Jesus. And let God produce fruits from your efforts. Would you stand with me this morning? Sheriff, you'd come and play a song of invitation. If you'd bow your heads and close your eyes, be as quiet as you can for just a minute and be still. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, oh, how Jesus loves you. Wouldn't you like to have your sins forgiven? Wouldn't you like to be saved? Wouldn't you like to have eternal life? You can have all of that. You can have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ if you'll confess your sins and ask Jesus to forgive you. He'll do it. You receive His forgiveness. Now, Christian, Is there an enemy in your life? Are you living in perilous times? Stand fast. Do good. Speak up. You come if you have a need this morning. Father, I thank you for all of your blessings. I know, Lord, there's people in our church, and there are always people in our church going through difficult times, Lord. But God, if we'll simply make the decision to be faithful, to stand fast, you'll bless us and you'll help us and you'll strengthen us and you'll enable us to do that. So help us, Lord, to make the decision to be faithful, to show your love, to do good to our enemies, and to speak up and to tell people about you. And then to trust you, Lord, with our lives and with the results of what we say and do. In the name of Jesus, amen. Thank you for coming this morning. Come back tonight at 6 for Charles Bernard with the Free Will Baptist Child Care Ministries. I'm sure you'll enjoy hearing him speak. John Waycaster, would you dismiss us, please?